Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. A new study shows an 80% increase in Utah families with children living in low-income areas. Joining us to talk about what the numbers mean and what it will take to move these families out of poverty is Terry Haven. She is Kids Count Director for Utah Voices for Utah Children, a nonpartisan child advocacy group based here in Salt Lake City. And Terry Haven, nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
If you live in an impoverished area, how are the children in your neighborhood faring? And what more do you think should be done to help struggling families here in Utah? 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Terry Haven, describe for us, what is concentrated poverty? Is it just an urban area problem, or what exactly does it mean?
No, it really isn't just an urban area problem. What the Casey Foundation and the Kids Count Project looked at was the percentage of children who are living in an area where 30% or more of all of the people in that area are living in poverty. So they're talking about, they basically looked at census tracts, which is a geographic area of about 4,000 to 5,000 people. And if 30% of those people in that census tract live in poverty, that's considered a tract that's got concentrated poverty. And so they looked at the number of children who lived in those kinds of areas.
Okay, so you live in a poor neighborhood. What does it mean?
Well, for children, the research shows some very negative outcomes regardless of whether or not they themselves are poor. So children who live in those communities of concentrated poverty tend to have emotional stress. They tend to drop out of school more often. They tend to get in trouble more often. Their incomes, again, sometimes are lower, but not always. When we look at some of the long-term effects of those kinds of areas, even for middle and upper income children, when they live in those areas of concentrated poverty, they have a 52% increased chance of actually doing worse than their parents in terms of their income.
So it's not your individual family circumstance that only counts. These concentrated pockets of poverty do make a difference.
Right, right. It's kind of a mindset, I think.
That's interesting. The report, the Casey report, notes that concentrated poverty is on the rise throughout the country. So how are we doing here in Utah? What are the numbers?
Well, we started out in 2000 with about 15,000 children living in these areas of concentrated poverty, and we rose by about 12,000 children, so we're now at 27,000 children, which is kind of good news and bad news. I mean, when you look across the country at the numbers that some other people are facing,
sure,
they seem sort of insurmountable and sort of, you know, what do I do? How can we possibly make a dent? And, for example, Pennsylvania has 300,000 children living in those concentrated areas of poverty. So the good news is we can make a difference. I mean, the numbers are small enough in Utah that with some political will and some key political policies that we put in place, we can actually, I think, stem the tide and actually make it go down. So
geographically, what does the picture look like here in Utah? Do we know?
We do. We have county-level information. And for most of the counties, there's actually no children that live in these concentrated poverty, which doesn't mean there's no children in poverty.
Sure, right.
Obviously, it just means that they're not living in those pockets of poverty. For example, Salt Lake County has a little over 9,000 children living in poverty, in those concentrated areas of poverty, a little over 3%. So and it varies across the state. The highest county that has that we're looking at is San Juan County. It has 45.6% of their kids who are living in those concentrated areas of poverty.
45%. Wow.
Right. It equates to about 2,200 children.
Wow. Did that surprise you at all?
Not really. I mean, you know, you've got those areas that we know, as we looked at, tracked poverty over the years in terms of just the percentage of children in poverty. Those are the counties that have the highest percentages over the years. So,
Terry Haven, she is Kids Count Director for Voices for Utah Children, nonpartisan child advocacy group. We're talking about a new study released by the Annie E. Casey Foundation that shows the effects of concentrated poverty on children. If you'd like to join us, if you have questions, 801-355-TALK is our number. The report makes several recommendations on how to reverse this trend, how to help children in these real poverty-stricken areas. First, it recommends developing mixed-income communities. That seems so easy to say, but hard to do. I mean, how do you, what do they mean by that, and how do you actually make something like that happen?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's. I mean, it just seems like that would be a little hard to do. I mean, the things you can do are things like creating some low income housing, affordable housing in areas that didn't have it before. Those kinds of things.
So spreading it out a little bit,
you know, mm-hmm. not concentrating all the affordable housing and the low income housing and those kinds of areas in, you know, the inner cities, mm-hmm. Making sure that children in the suburbs and you know, in the rural areas have a nice place to live.
The report also recommends tapping into anchor institutions such as colleges and universities. How can higher ed help in the efforts to curb the influence of poverty on kids? And are you seeing those efforts being implemented here?
You know, I think the university has a lot of service learning opportunities through the Binion Center. And I think that those students who are going out into schools and being mentors to children and reading in schools and doing the kinds of things that make a difference for those lower income schools, they can make a difference. You know, even hiring practices, so that, you know, we make sure that we're hiring families and parents who are, you know, living in those areas. The reality is if you look nationwide, three out of four of the children who are living in those high and concentrated poverty areas have parents who are in the labor force. So we're not talking about, you know, deadbeat parents who aren't working. We're talking about a community where the parents are working, and children need, you know, a place to go, you know, boys and girls club, you know, where they can find other mentors besides their parents. So, I mean, again, it's something that's doable.
And one of the other recommendations is really focusing on jobs programs. I'm wondering what's available here in Utah. What could be done to improve the job situation, maybe for the underemployed, people who are already working but maybe not making enough to pull them out of poverty?
One of the things I think we really want to make sure we're doing is you know, the state is very big on economic development and bringing in business. We really need to make sure that when we bring in a business, that it's paying a livable wage. You know, paying minimum wage is not going to lift anybody out of poverty. That doesn't do the trick. So, you know, when we lure companies to our state, when we're looking at investing in having, you know, corporations come, we need to make sure that when they get here, they're going to be paying a livable wage and providing benefits for the kids and for the parents.
Voices for Utah Children certainly pushes for, you know, preschool opportunities for low-income kids. How are we doing on that account?
You know, we have a lot of opportunities here in the state. We have we've been running a pilot project in Granite School District for quality preschool for low-income kids. And we're seeing results. We're seeing it really make a difference and kind of minimizing that achievement gap that we always see between the, you know, the poor and the rich children. And so there's a lot of key policy implementations that I think the state could implement that would make a difference for these children and their families and really help raise the bar and raise them out of poverty. We're running bills to create a state EITC, an earned income tax credit, which actually puts money back into, you know, directly into the hands of those families who are struggling. Again, the quality preschool for low-income families, things that help children maintain their health insurance coverage. We know that when children don't have health insurance and something happens, it's devastating to the families economically. So if we can implement some policies that make it easier for them to stay on CHIP or Medicaid especially, we're looking at continuous eligibility for Medicaid, children on Medicaid, so they don't have to apply constantly, that they apply once and then, you know, they have to do it yearly so that we don't have to do the paperwork and make sure, you know, and they're not falling off of Medicaid and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I mean, all of those policies are being debated on the Hill this year.
So those legislative fixes in process right now, but we are in that time of the session where the budget really comes into play. What kind of money is it going to take to support programs like the Earned Income Tax Credit, like preschool for low-income kids?
Well, the Earned Income Tax Credit has, I believe, a fiscal note of about $20 million. So, and those are the stumbling blocks we have for these programs. What I think we need to start looking at is, you know, we have had so many bills at the legislative session this year that want to provide tax benefits and tax breaks for businesses. We've had one that failed, that wanted to make it so that private golf courses didn't have to pay sales tax. I mean, that was a huge fiscal note. So fortunately, it failed. But, you know, I mean, we need to start looking at where do we want to make our investments. And, you know, if we know that these are proven programs that we know can make a difference for kids and families, is $20 million too much? You know, I mean, I think that when we look across other states who've implemented these programs and we know they're research-based and that they work, then to us, it's worth the money. It's just a matter of whether or not they do.
Terry Haven, Kids Count Director for Voices for Utah Children, talking about the new Annie E. Casey report on concentrated poverty and the effects on children. And Terry Haven, thanks very much for your time today.
You bet. Thanks.
City Views is a production of KCPW News in Salt Lake City. Thanks to Tamara Kemsley and to Katie Sheen Abbott. Our technical director is Jesse Ellis. Ryan Cron composed our theme music. Coming up next time, it's Politics Up Close with Jeff Robinson. So I hope that you'll join us for that conversation tomorrow. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.